Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you're listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking. And if it is the third Tuesday of the month from 2 to 3, it must be Dr. Sharon Van Lent, Relationship Renewal, Negotiating the Crossroads. Dr. Sharon, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good, but there's your microphone.
Oh, thank you.
Our special guest came to the rescue.
That's
like
right.
Superman.
Johnny on the spot.
You are sort of like Superman, though.
Johnny on the spot.
Okay, Johnny on the spot's better, but his name is not Johnny. Mm-hmm. It is Justin Hagee.
That's right.
The shelter. For the shelter.
I'm back again. Two months in a row.
I like it, though.
To rave reviews.
Yes, it's true. I hear the Academy Awards may be picking you as Johnny on the spot of radio.
If I must.
I think he's a natural.
He is a natural.
You remember the movie The Natural? I think he was born for
this. Yeah, I think so, too. He has a great voice.
Absolutely.
He has an incredible heart. He's compassionate.
Oh, boy.
He helps people. This guy is really...
And I discovered him.
Yes, you did. You discovered him.
Wow, there you go.
Can you be his manager?
When I make it big.
Yes. But it's true. I mean, he really is a very good human being. That's what we like. That's what most important in this world. Mm-hmm. It's not about the money, the greed, anything like that, but it is about what you can do to make a difference. Justin, that is you.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to be here again today.
It's so fun always to have you here. And, of course, Dr. Sharon, fun to have you here, too.
Well, good. I'm glad you're not getting tired of me.
Not at all. You are also... Let's give you a shout-out, because really, you know how important this is to reach out to people, to help people. You've been doing it quite a while, of course, as a therapist, and you just have a heart to help people as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And that, when did you first notice that? I never asked you that question. When did you first notice you really had this, whether it's a passion, a desire, or just something that pulled you to say, I need to help people?
Honestly, I was 15.
Wow, 15?
That's cool.
And I realized that everybody was coming to me and telling me their problems anyway. I was like a magnet to attract people to tell me their problems. And so I said, okay, God, if this is going to happen to me anyway, maybe I should make a career out of it.
That's awesome.
That really is. That's pretty young, isn't it?
I think I recognize my calling at a young age.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
That is very cool.
Mm-hmm. I sort of like psychology. I was age 15, too. Now, I didn't go into psychology. Mm-hmm. Well, NLP, but not like Dr. Sharon has. But the first book I read was Psycho-Cybernetics, Dr. Maltz, where he discovered that the power of beliefs controlled people's... you know, the way they saw themselves, the way they saw the world. And I thought that was really interesting, a plastic surgeon that discovered this, because people get in accidents and you know, unfortunately, maybe their face got disfigured.
Sure.
But he was such a great plastic surgeon, he would fix them up and it looked like normal, maybe even better.
Hmm.
But they still saw themselves in the mirror as ugly.
In the past.
Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
Yeah, great book. And then I started reading Dr. David Viscott. Dr. Sharon, ever hear of him?
Yes.
I liked him.
Yeah.
Did you like him?
You know, I don't know that I ever watched.
Yeah, he was on TV.
I don't think I ever really got into him.
Dave, that was before some of us were.
Oh, yes, exactly. I knew it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was before television, even.
That's right. Back in the day when the basketballs were made of canvas back then.
Oh, so, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, that's.
Yes, it was in the early 1800s. Little House on the Prairie. By the way, that's one of my favorite shows.
Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah. Wow. Do you like that, too?
I'm not going to make an educated comment on that, because I think I've only watched that one time.
Oh, only once?
And I think I fell asleep.
But it was good old family values, though.
Yeah, true.
Right?
He's honest.
Yeah, yeah.
I am very honest on that.
I haven't watched it either.
Oh,
only
no.
Watched it when I changed channels.
There you go. For a blink of an eye. Wow. I'm more of a Lost fan.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Oh my goodness!
I know. I heard it's good though.
You do.
Think my cousin had something to do with it, like the producer or something.
Wow! I can tell you right now, you missed out if you've not seen that.
It was good. Is it still on?
Especially the first three episodes. No, but I'll bring you the first season next time.
Okay.
I see you.
I did watch Lost in Space.
There you go.
That was my favorite show.
Really?
When I was a young one.
Do you know the voice of the robot died in 2012? Yeah.
No.
There's a fun fact.
Yeah, it's we're going to say the reason we're doing it is because Academy Awards are next Sunday, and they always show who died, you know, some of the famous people that died. So I have a whole list for our entertainment show this Thursday.
Very cool.
Very sad, too. I mean, a lot of people.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But every year.
The Grammys were the same this year. A lot of people, surprisingly.
Donna Summer.
Yeah.
Etta James.
Yeah.
Hey, do a rendition of Etta James for us. Come on, you said you sing, and I love that song.
Uh-oh.
How does that go?
Only the entertainment show.
Oh, you want to? Oh.
Not today.
Okay. Wow. Remember that song, At Last, it's called.
See, there you go. James. Back, going back.
Yeah.
You're going back in time now.
Way
going back.
You lost me.
I lost you at hello.
Dave, you lost me at hello.
You are cultured, though. I will say that.
Some people have you at hello. I lost you at hello.
You lost me at hello.
Remember that movie, Jerry Maguire?
Oh.
You liked it?
Great movie.
Wow, I saw his nonverbal. He really liked it.
Oh.
But that's not how people should connect. I had you at hello. I mean, you had me at hello. Isn't that a little infatuation?
I would say.
Yeah, so I think that's a good central theme we could talk about. Maybe we should talk about marriage today.
Uh-oh.
I think that would be a good idea.
Yeah.
But I'd really like to introduce Justin.
Yes, let's do that.
He's pretty new to our show.
Yes.
And Justin is a senior pastor. Last name is Hagee, senior pastor of the Shelter in Phoenix. And he has been in full-time ministry since 1997. Justin began his career in Phoenix as a children and youth evangelist, traveling the country as part of Kids Rally USA for over 3 years, and he attended the Institute of Christian Studies.
I did.
In 2001, Justin relocated to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and served as a youth pastor at Grace Christian Fellowship for 3 years. After getting married, Justin and his family returned to ministry in Scottsdale, Arizona in 2005, where he served as an associate pastor at Scottsdale Worship Center, and he also led a mission trip to Ecuador in 2010. And during that trip, Justin was inspired to start his own ministry, and the church, The Shelter, was born. In January of 2011, The Shelter began in the Hagee living room and transitioned into the local public library and finally settled into the location it is today, which is at Greenway Road and Cave Creek.
That is right.
And Justin's also an avid Washington Redskins fan.
RG3.
Amen.
And can oftentimes be found on the golf course teaching his 4-year-old son how to perfect his golf swing.
That's right.
Is he only 4? I thought he was older than that.
He is 4. He is.
Now, what does your son have in common with golf? 4, right?
4, there you go.
You like it?
I
say 4 when you're on the
golf
course.
What I want him to have in common with golf is everything. That's what I want. I want him to become an avid golfer. So.
Really?
We'll see.
Professional, maybe?
I won't push.
But not a football player.
No, there's too many injuries. That's a very short time span that he can play. But he can play golf for his whole life. And he could try to beat me for his whole life, which will never, ever happen, by the way. Because I have just got Jedi mind tricks over that guy.
Oh, wow. But he's 4.
Yep.
Okay. Wait, I'm feeling like mind is being
I have to mention his wonderful wife, Kristen.
You know her?
Well, I know her through the church because I'm attending his church.
Yeah.
That's
nice.
How I found him.
That's right.
And his wife is Kristen. They've been married 8 years, and they have 2 large dogs.
We do.
And they enjoy gourmet cooking and spending time with family.
There
we
go.
Wow, this sounds like the dating show.
It is, man.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, line 1, 2, and 3, bachelorette.
There we go. No. Sign it up.
So that's very good. Well, welcome again because it's always a pleasure to have you on any of our shows.
Thank you.
And you're more than welcome. So we are going to talk about factors for a successful marriage, since people probably need help in that area is, sure. I'm guessing.
Sure.
I think so, considering our divorce rate, what it is. I think the more we can talk about successful marriages, and, you know, these are my ideas. I'm sure, I mean, I didn't go out and do a lot of research on this. This is based on my experience, you know, 25 years seeing couples. So I have some experience at it, and I just wanted to share some of those things, and I'm sure a lot of it will resonate with Justin, who also does counseling.
Yeah.
As a pastor.
Yeah.
Nice.
As all pastors do that.
Quite a bit of that, yeah.
Do you do, is it premarital counseling as well as couple counseling once they get married?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I it's always been something that is really, that I've loved to do, and I think is needed. And, you know, last month when I was on, we talked a lot about the reasons for premarital,
yeah,
and why that's so valuable and so vital. So I'm just going to follow along with Dr. Sharon today and just kind of chime in whenever, because she's got some great points.
Well, the first one is, I think, communication. I think all relationships start with communication. You have to say hello first.
Yes.
And good communication is a real stronghold, not a stronghold, a real necessity for a relationship to prosper and grow.
Yeah.
And usually the first thing I hear from couples that call me on the phone or come into my office is they say, we need help with our communication. That's usually the first thing that breaks down, where one or both partners stops listening to the other and they stop really hearing them. And I would say this is the biggest red flag for a downward spiral in the relationship. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit it on the head. It's the foundation or the backbone of any relationship is how you communicate. You know, that doesn't mean just talking. That means sometimes body language. That means how you communicate with your eyes. And so communication is something that is very volatile too and can change. People grow in it. I think people can get weaker in it. But the thing that I would say is that communication tends to be something that as people, they imitate what they've grown up with or what they've seen. And in my opinion, their strengths are what they've seen that are strong and their weaknesses are what they've seen that are weaknesses. But it's something that you kind of adapt. And so for me, the one thing that I tell all the couples is this is, remember, you're very, very, very different in the way that you communicate and doing everything that you possibly can to try to become unified in that. Is so important because some people are the type of people that they want confrontation. And then there's some people that don't want confrontation at all. They want to just sweep it under the rug and, hey, hopefully it'll go away when it goes away. And if it does, it does. If it doesn't, well, we still hope it does. So communication is so, so vital to, obviously, to every relationship. But I think the idea of learning how your spouse, your boss gives and receives communication is very important.
Now, let me ask you this, both of you. The way I see it, yeah, there's skills of communication, certainly. You know, how to listen.
Yeah.
You know, how to speak, intonation, inflection. There's that type of nonverbal. Behind the communication, there's motivating factors like self-esteem issues, because I've seen people... A classic example, let's say a man comes home, brings flowers, and the woman, you know, the wife says, what'd you do wrong? You know, and some of them, you know, it's sure. The standard joke, but the truth is there is some reality to that, is how people feel about themselves, self-esteem,
yeah,
beliefs in their situation. Is it, hopeless? Is it not? Is it going well? Can come out in the external communication, the behavioral part of that. Who wants to take that one? Because that's a little bit more, I think, challenging. But what you say is a result of what you think, and what you think is a bunch of filters that are going on, what you believe in yourself.
Huge.
How you self-esteem could be a big one. Justin, Huge. Why don't you take that one?
Well, I mean, I don't know how boy, researched I am on that exact question. But I will say this, that that's why I think it's very, very, very valuable that you've got to be in a partnership or in a relationship and or marriage. When you're in that, you've got to be willing to yield your way of how you would do it when it comes to communication, because of all those factors from the past or their self-esteem or some of the things that you mentioned. If my wife comes in and she's had a bad day and I've had a great day. Now, this is just something that I kind of have lived by. If I've had a great day and she's had a bad day, I've always said that it's going to be my responsibility to try to meet her where she's at. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily say, well, we're on completely two different levels. You know what? You go over there. I'm going over here. Let's have no communication. Because if I really care about her and if that's where everything's generated, if my motives are generated out of care of her, then I take the time to say, you know what, where's she at? Where's she at right now? And I want to hear, and her communication may be sometimes just a vent. Her communication may be sometimes because someone's done something to her in that day that's really hurt her. And if I'm not willing to say, you know what, I'm going to lay down what I want to do, my rights right now to this particular situation, I don't think that there's a great chance that there's wholesome, productive communication going on there.
Well, I liked what you said. If someone just wants a vent, and very often people just want someone to be, they want to be heard.
Sure.
They want someone to listen to them.
Sure.
And I think that's interesting because the other party should have that type of awareness. Like, wait
Huge.
A minute, I'm not going to jump in and start solving. I think they just want to let off steam and listen then. Listen could be your greatest, could be the greatest friend and communication technique to help people run down the frustration. And they will, you know, after a while, they'll thank you profusely.
Right.
Dr. Sharon, have you seen that?
Well, sure. And I tell a lot of my clients, you know, that building communication is kind of like watering and tending a garden. You know, you need to water it every day and you need to tend it, you know, with a hoe and various tools. And it really, to do a good job, you've got to pay attention to it every day. And I think that's a real good analogy people can get, that they understand that it's a process. And when they come in and it's broken, it takes, you know, a little while to get them back on track, but with some very simple tools, you can get, you know, most couples back on track if they're both willing to work at it.
What are some of the tools that are you talking about? So when they come in, you actually teach people various tools to communicate, and do you actually rehearse it right there so they understand it?
Well, one of the most useful techniques that I've used is, you know, a chair-to-chair technique where the couple, instead of the couple sitting like here and here where they're both talking to the therapist, I put their two chairs facing each other. I don't want them to talk to me, you know. So as soon as possible, as soon as I think they can handle that, I have them talk directly to each other. And if one of them starts to blame the other one or point fingers, then I help them rephrase that so they can learn some new language that's more loving. And they, you know, sometimes it takes longer for some than others to get it. But then I become like an alter ego behind them. And once I get to know them after a few sessions, I start intuitively tuning into them and saying the things that they're not saying.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then they get to say whether or not that fits for them.
That's cool.
And that is really cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's a technique that I learned in a workshop years ago, and it is incredibly powerful.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Wow. So and of course, Justin, you do a couple type of counseling.
Sure.
Anything that, what do you notice? What do you do? Any tools specifically that you've noticed really help the couples? They come in one way, they go out saying, wow, yeah, this is a new, refreshing way to communicate.
Well, of course, for me, because I'm in ministry, one thing I tell people is that I'm surely not, I haven't gone through the schooling that she has. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a I'm not a professional counselor. I'm a professional minister, if you want to call it that. And my goal is to really not just include Christ into things, but really, listen, if people are acting Christ-like, right?
Yeah.
Communication gets better. Mm-hmm. So for me, one of the things that I mention with couples, and I think one of my great friends and someone that I really look up to, Pastor Lenny, he's mentioned this many times, is that there is something to be said about asking the Lord's help in becoming a better communicator. Even though that sounds so simple, right? Imagine actually asking God to help you become a better husband or wife, right? And so I always start out with that. If you have any interest in working on this relationship, you have any interest in doing this, let's go to God with this. Really take it to Him and ask Him for His favor in this relationship, for His will to be done. And so then once we go through that, and because even though I said that go through that, that's a big hurdle a lot of times. Because on our own, if we think that we're going to, that our heart is always going to match up and our tongue is going to match up to what our heart says, we're wrong.
Right.
And so many times what my heart would be thinking, that's definitely not what I say. It's not definitely not what I do. And then quite frankly, sometimes my heart will think something that I wish it didn't. So for me to be able to kind of submit to the Lord in this and say, Lord, your will and your way in this relationship, that is a, you know, again, that may sound very basic, but it's also, to me, it's the starting point. Now, if you're dealing with a couple that's not say, you know, that aren't believers, then I go back to the simple golden rule.
Yeah.
Do to others, talk to her or to him as you want to be talked to. Mm-hmm. Do you want to be talked down to? Then talk to him like that. Do you want to be talked to in a manner that's constructive and creative? Then do that. I think a lot of times couples get in such a rush to say things that many times they forget, hey, I'm married to this person and there was a day and a time where we actually loved each other, mm-hmm. right? When we have differencing of opinion, does that mean automatically now that we're enemies? No, that doesn't mean that at all. So go back to there was a time where you said, I do, where you said, hey, I love you. I want to be with you through good and bad. Because those are commitments that for me, they're not only done before the Lord, but they're done through other people. And they're supposed to be lived out. So for me, doing unto others and speaking unto others the way you would like to be spoken to, if you actually put that into practice, let's just say we walked outside right now and we did that when we went to Starbucks and they messed up our coffee. What would happen? What would happen if I actually addressed that person and said, hey, you know what? No problem. Because how do I know if that person had a bad day or lost its dog in the morning or got in a car accident? What? How do I know that? So if I have that mindset, and I'm sure, Dr. Sharon, that's something that is so basic. It's such a basic truth. But if it's practiced, mm-hmm. if it's practiced, because we just don't know what's gone on in the day's time when we start yelling out, when we start biting, when we start snapping at people like that.
Yes, and let me just add something that came to mind when Justin was talking, and I really liked what you shared. I think something that sets me apart from all your other psychologists or therapists that are out there in Paradise Valley or, you know, in most of Phoenix is that I do both secular counseling and Christian counseling, and then I actually do pray with my clients who are both believers. So we'll either pray at the beginning of the session or at the end of the session, you know, for their relationship. And I think that really helps. And I think that's an additional tool that a lot of therapists don't have.
Well, it makes sense to me because you're really setting a frame and to be open and know something greater than yourself can maybe help mm-hmm. out yeah. because themselves haven't helped out very well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess it's good that Dr. Sharon's here just to say, because she said, I think it really helps. Mm-hmm. It not only helps, it changes things.
Yeah, yeah.
It does. Because if you have two submitted people unto the Lord, you got a lot better chance than if you've got people that are wanting to do it their own way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would agree totally. And let's take a quick break right now. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Dr. Sharon Van Lentz. This is Relationship Renewal, Negotiating the Crossroads with special guest in studio, Justin Hagee, senior pastor at The Shelter. We'll be right back.
At Beerenbaum & Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.riiadvisors.com. That's riiadvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's riiadvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the third Tuesday from 2 to 3, so it must be Dr. Sharon Van Lentz, Relationship Renewal, Negotiating the Crossroads, special in-studio guest, Justin Hagee, yeah. Senior Pastor, The Shelter.
Oh, yes.
Oh, you have a singing voice, too. That sounded like Barry White.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
How did you learn that?
Oh, back in the day.
Now say, oh, baby.
Back in the day.
All right. He said, oh, back in the
baby.
Day.
Oh,
he
baby.
Did do it. Okay. I hear something. Oh, it was a
commercial.
Oh, a commercial is exempting me from something. Anyway, so Dr. Sharon and Justin, we are talking about the factors that make, hopefully, a great marriage. We just talked about communication. Totally agree. That's very, very critical. How about love? People throw that word around too loosely, in my opinion. I'm not sure people really understand it. I don't know if they've thought about it. I think that there's probably various categories of love. I think it can be confused with lust, and very, very often I think it is.
Yeah.
And it generates these feelings they think are love, but they're just not.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So let's get rolling on this one, because I want to know, and inquiring minds want to know, what is love, Dr. Sharon?
Well, if I had the total answer to that, would be a guru here, but I'm not. So there are a million different definitions of love, but romantic love you know, I think most people confuse with the real thing. And when you're in a long-term relationship or marriage, I think that the romantic love probably lasts several years. And then after a long-term process, at least what I've learned, you know, from my experience and my couples, is that what you are left with is a really enduring friendship and a choice of loving that partner because of your history together.
So an enduring friendship, I like that. That's sort of a nice sound to it. And what is it? How would you describe that, though?
How would I describe an enduring friendship? Well,
yeah.
I think based on your day-to-day support and fellowship with one another, you choose to continue to commit yourself to each other.
Oh, I like that.
That's good.
That was good.
That's very good.
Wow. Let's give out your phone number, really. Mm-hmm. No, I like that. People should... what is your phone number?
602-334-3776.
Oh, that was very good. I like that a lot.
That's cool, yeah.
All right, Justin, how do you see it?
Well, I you know, my wife yesterday... She shared with me just a story of these two people that we've just kind of acquaintances of. I actually really don't know them all that well, but I think via Facebook and the internet, she's kind of heard about them. And they got engaged, I think, about 14 months ago. And I think about 6 months ago, he was up snowboarding or doing something up in Canada, and he became paralyzed.
Oh, I'm
and,
so sorry.
And just this last weekend, they got married. And I thought to myself, man, that's love there. Why mm-hmm. that's love? Because love, and I told my wife, I said, wow, that's pretty amazing. Because that's a game changer in a lot of ways. Because that girl committed now not only to him, but also for caring for him. And the coolest thing for me when I really looked into that and thought about it is she committed to caring for him physically. But what we really all are doing when we get married is we're committing to take care of somebody physically, mentally, spiritually.
Mm.
So for me, what love looks like is very, probably one word for me, and that's unconditional. So there's never a time where I don't think that I don't think the highest of my mate. There's never a time where there's nothing that she can do that would ever extinguish my love. And I think love goes way deeper than feelings. I think you said the word lust, and I don't know if I'd use the word lust as I would use the word infatuation. So many people are infatuated with the idea of being wanted, being needed, loved, all those different things. But there's something that really special that takes place when two say, I forever will be unconditional. I mean, when we say those vows, and we've heard them so many times, for better or for worse, you know, richer or poorer, right? Till death do us part. Like, I think those were written, you know, whenever they were written, and they've been said so many times that sometimes they just go in one and out the other. But a person that really means those, that's unconditional. And see, I think that, to me, that's the greatest depiction of love.
But do you think there's that many people out there that are capable of unconditional love?
Nicely. That's a great question. I love that question.
Well, I think that goes back to what is a person expecting? And we talked about that last month. What are mm-hmm. they expecting out of this marriage?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do I feel, and it goes back to what we said before we took a break. I said that when two people say, Lord, we want your help in this. So you just asked me, do I think of anybody as incapable of unconditional love? I don't. I really don't. I think with the power of God, though, inside them, right?
I think it's a possibility, but in my experience, in my practice, I think I've seen it's very, very rare that somebody is spiritually developed to that point where they're capable of unconditional love.
Sure.
I mean, the average person that comes into my office, they have conditions under which they want out.
Sure. Yeah, I think with you saying that, I don't think when you get to the altar and you say those for rich or poor, you say your vows, you have any idea what that means. But
I think people don't have a clue.
Yeah, and so as you grow in your relationship, though, and if you have the ability to forgive throughout that relationship, especially in those first couple years, and then I think all of a sudden you start understanding a little bit more what unconditional really looks like. Mm-hmm. So for instance, for me, I would love to say that I was unconditional 8 years ago or 9 years ago when I married my wife, but my maturity level, my understanding of her, my forgiveness of her, you know, whatever goes on, all those things have matured and grown. And so, unconditional, I think, can grow, and I think people can actually attain that. But I think when we first start out, you know, much of that has to do with infatuation as much as we wish it wasn't, Dave.
Well, don't you think, I mean, infatuation, you could call it that, lust. I call it a movie running in the back of your mind, really setting the selection and criteria attraction strategies from maybe when you've grown up, you've attached certain anchors and certain things associated with what you thought was love from
sure.
these sort of weird movies or
sure.
media advertisers. And I think you're playing that movie and you're looking for sparks yeah. as almost like an addiction in nature. I really believe that type of love is an addiction. It's a pull. It's like a longing, feeling empty, thinking someone can fill your voids. And that's just, I don't believe that's true. I think you fill your own voids.
Sure.
And a lot of people that I see that have grown up in really chaotic childhoods where there's been domestic violence and things like that, you know, they can, you know, just go out and have relationship after relationship, and they keep attracting, you know, the same bad news losers that are going to be alcoholics, drug addicts, abuse them, and it's just, you know, it never ceases to astonish me how deeply rooted, you know, in our unconscious, you know, those childhood experiences are. And how we go out and look for what's familiar because we think that's love.
Yeah.
I totally agree. It's almost like they have to feed the fire. It's like, and that's an addiction. I mean, there's that need to continue either get the, you know, to have affairs or to continually meet someone new that triggers some type of feelings. And it's really a sad statement of what's happening. And that's probably one reason the divorce rate is so high. They're comparing it to the fairy tales, the movies of one's mind, saying, hey, this is how it should be. And, the movies aren't really teaching what you guys are teaching.
Sure. Right. And the more drama they have as a child, the more drama they need in their relationship.
I'll bring it back to the famous verse that we hear at every wedding. Love is patient.
Mm-hmm.
Love is kind. Love doesn't seek its own. It's not puffed up. It's not rude. It keeps no records of wrong. Right. Right. It only thinks, it thinks no evil. Right. Those are the types of, well, I mean, those are huge concepts. Right.
Yeah.
And those are huge things. Like I would say, even in my at my young state of how old I am, you know, 33 years old, I'm still learning that. I'm still learning. What does it mean to not be puffed up? It's so hard not to be. I mean,
you're talking about ego.
It doesn't seek its own. How does that work out? I mean, there's days when I wake up and I want what I want. And then there's days where, because that depiction of love, right? That's when we see that benchmark and go, wow, that's what to attain to. You got a lot of work. And if that's your goal, I think then again, that goes back to that enveloping thought of being unconditional.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Being unconditional, sort of being really in a selfless state of mind.
Yeah.
Would that resonate with you?
Well, that's huge for me. I think sometimes I get not a bad rap, but I think you know, a selfless state of mind, selfless heart.
Yeah.
Where you're wanting to serve rather than be served. If that's truly how you think of life and you go through it, just my personal opinion, you're going to have a lot better impact on people.
And
that doesn't matter if it's your wife, if it's your children. I mean, if someone wants to lord over another person, that's called that. What is that? What is that's, you know, that's a completely different concept than the idea of I'm going to see how I can serve this person today.
And most people really don't see that. And this really enters into this picture because marriage is between two people, right?
Yeah.
And you're one of them and the other is the other one. And depending on the filters, the frames you look through, if one is selfish state of mind and one is selfless, you know, not the best match unless your criteria is to try to, you know, help your partner get through that. In fact, I heard from this person once, a great spiritual person who I think passed away, but wrote a book and said the purpose, let's see what you think about this. I liked it.
Yeah.
The purpose of marriage, in his opinion, was to bring your partner back to God.
Man.
Talk about that. I liked it when I heard that. I go, I mean, I don't care what religion. I mean, it's not, it's a concept of beauty, I think.
Yeah.
Talk about that. I liked it a lot.
Well, I love that just because, again, that takes the focus off of you. That takes that means that every day when you wake up, you know, and when you have a goal such as that, which is pretty lofty, by the way, you just have a better shot. Just have a better shot because then the things that maybe would bother you wouldn't bother you as much. If you understand that that person right there is in the process just as much as you are, and they're adapting and learning how to live, and there's going to be mistakes, then you've got a better bet, because so much in a marriage, I would say, comes off of those reactions. When something happens wrong, when something happens good, there's a reaction. And once you react, you don't get those words back. You know, how many times have you said something, you know, even today, that you go, oh my goodness, what did I do there? But if I would have taken the time and thought, you know what, this person that I'm about ready to speak into, they're in their process and they're in their journey and I'm trying to lead them to the Lord. You just, again, it's, and you've known me now a couple times that we've sat here. That's my whole goal, is taking a look at those basic concepts. And if those become foundational principles and truths that we abide by all the time, as if they were laws for our own life, man, this world would be really a different place, and marriages would be completely different.
The other thing that I would say, I like that definition about bringing your partner back to God, but I also think that purpose of marriage is to bring your partner back to wholeness, to allow for healing of childhood wounds.
Yeah.
Because a lot, and there's several books written by Harville Hendrix on this subject, and his workbooks I think are awesome, because that's where we get our template for, you know, who our partner should become is from our childhood, and that becomes deeply rooted in the subconscious.
You know, it's very similar, I think. I mean, it's maybe a step to the higher goal, but it nevertheless, it makes sense because then you become a cheerleader, a support system, someone there for the other person, whether it's a series of steps to help heal or support. I mean, you're not acting as a therapist, but you're acting as a partner supporting your partner. And I like that as well. That makes a lot of sense.
Take apart that word that you just said there, cheerleader.
Yeah.
You're leading somebody by your cheers.
Yeah, I like that. That's right?
You're leading somebody. Like, we don't look at it that way, but I think someone came up to me the other day and said, Justin, the only way I know to describe you is you pull for everyone.
Mm.
I go, yeah, man, that's, to me, everyone needs that, and especially in a marriage. I mean, if that person can't feel like, hey, my number one fan is the person that's sleeping next to me at night, That's no good.
I agree. I think that a really good marriage over time, you know, the spouse has to either start out being your best friend or become your best friend in the process.
Well, that's interesting. Either start out or become. That makes sense. I always thought they should start out. I have a certain viewpoint on dating. I think the term dating puts a frame around things, creating society expectations and best behavior type scenarios, which are absolutely ridiculous to get to know someone.
Right.
Dating, so in my opinion, the worst way to get to know someone.
Yeah.
Because of the connotations, am I right?
Sure.
Because of society.
Because of the expectation. And I talked with somebody last week who was, he's been single now for him, it's a long time, for 2 months.
He's like, that's a long time.
2 months?
Yeah.
And I said, let's try, 10 years.
Yeah. And I said to him, I said, hey, man, you know what you're doing right now is you're just preparing yourself. You're in preparation mode of how to learn how to love somebody correctly. So take every single day and learn, observe, and throw out the stuff that you don't love and really embrace the things that you do, because the next person can't be like your last relationship. You know what I mean? So I look at it as seasons of preparations of, hey, can you be a good, I think, Dave, you caught it right. Can you be a good friend? Right?
Well, I think that's true. And I think that's what is missing in the dating process, because of the connotations, is that the friendship part, you know, a potential friend. I mean, you can't. What gets me is unbelievable. It's a pet peeve, I think. It's like people go out for 2 months, they break up, and they go, at least we can be friends. Well, you weren't friends in the beginning. How can you now be friends? It's sure. Like, I guess I could, but it's an illusion, yeah. I believe. Yeah. And it's an illusion of smoking mirrors and smoking guns and a pretend type of situation. I call it simulated love and not love at all. It's firing up the flames and sparks, and because they unconsciously they're playing their movie. Wow. There are two movies playing,
right.
Projecting on each other.
Right.
So you're really loving your own movie, not the person.
You're really sure. Loving yourself.
Exactly.
And we talked about that. We talked about that, you know, the last time I was on. Expectations are everything. You know, if one person's walking into that relationship and he's got A, B, C expected, and she's walking in with, you know, D, E, F, you've got serious
problems.
Serious. So getting those out, you know, and talking through those right up front. I have one of my really best friends is getting married this Friday night, and I'm so proud of him because, you know, he's dated this girl she's just a great girl for 18 months, and you can just tell that they are united not only in spirit. But they are that what you wrote down, cheerleaders of one another.
Wow, very cool. That's cool. Why don't we take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. Wow, this show has just zipped by. This is a great topic.
By.
This is, of course, relationship renewal, negotiating the crossroads, starring Dr. Sharon Van Lentz with special guest Justin Hagee, senior pastor of the Shelter. We'll be right back.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Beer and Bomb and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum & Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. If it is the third Tuesday of each month from 2 to 3, it is relationship renewal. I had that was a tongue twister for me right there. Negotiating the Crossroads, starring Dr. Sharon Van Lentz with special guest Justin Hagee, senior pastor of the Shelter. We're talking about certain factors that make good marriages. And we talked about communication, and we tried to tackle the word love, and that could take volume 1, 2, 3, 4 through 817,000.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
That's a big topic, but we handled it pretty good. Now, we only have probably about, maybe 8 minutes left, I believe, in the show. And the show has been going very quickly, but part of marriage, too, is understanding, you know, handling money, maybe parenting, of course, you know, physical intimacy, too. And that's, there's a lot that goes into it. And that's why I say dating does not, the context may not be conducive to understanding all these things. It's about fun. I call it the Disneyland dad. Ever hear of the Disneyland dad concept?
No, I have not.
Ever hear of that?
Well, I think I've heard of it, but I'm not sure I know what you mean. Well, by being on your best behavior.
Well, Disneyland dad are the dads, and I'm not picking on dads, but it could be moms too. But the Disneyland dad where the mom has custody.
Uh-huh.
Does the hard discipline, the character development, training, teaching, and isn't the most popular job.
Mm-hmm.
Where the dad comes in this case, and says, hey, let's go to Disneyland. It's all fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's all vacation. And the kids are swayed by this glitter and gold, the illusion of non-substance. And not to say you can't have fun, but that's the concept of Disneyland, Dad. That's the concept of the honeymoon phase is over.
We may lose a whole bunch of listeners here, but I think the greatest form of love is loving discipline.
Oh, I like that. Let's talk about that. What does that mean? Loving discipline.
Well, I think, I mean, obviously discipline communicated the right way. Discipline that's accurate. Discipline that's consistent. That's not full of threats. But mostly discipline that's love. You know, and that's stern. And that is directive. And that comes from a heart of wanting to protect whoever. Man, you know, and I personally think that's part of every relationship. It's something that I actually talked to Dr. Sharon about prior to the show, that I believe that every single person needs to be accountable with another person. How many marriages, no one says when they start out in their marriage, hey, this is going to last for 6 months and then we're going to get divorced.
Mm-hmm.
No one does that ever. No one says, hey, you know what? I got this new credit card. I can't wait to declare bankruptcy 3 years later. You know, no one says, you know, that's just not part of it. But how many things could be, how many crises in relationships, in money, in life could be averted by having someone to keep us disciplined, someone to keep us accountable to the commitments that we've made. And that's one of the things, you know, that I was sharing with you, that some that probably the single most thing that I'm the most passionate about in a ministry framework is linking up different people to help one another stay on track with the commitment that they've made and discipline people in love, not in a lording manner so that, hey, I'm going to do this so that I'm going to feel better about myself. No, my motivation for discipline is so that this person would be able to stay committed to what they said they would do.
So is this like tough love?
Tough love, big time.
So that's what you're describing.
But there's a negative connotation with tough love. Oh, it's, you know, a tough love, you know, and they really focus on the tough part. It's tough and it's love. So just tough as in I'm the dictator here.
Yeah.
That's not love.
Gotcha.
So
I like it. That makes sense. So it's not this warm, fuzzy, coochie-coochie-coo type of deal.
No.
That the movies talk about, like the honeymoon situation. It sometimes love is taking the chance, knowing it's not popular, and creating a situation. It's for the better good. In fact, or the greater good. In fact, here's an example, I bet. Let me know if you both think this is an example. Remember Patty Duke?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
John Ashton, I think, was the husband at the time. She was, sadly, you know, some abuse of, you know, substance stuff, I think alcohol.
But it was destroying her life. John Ashton had her committed without her authority. You know.
Authority. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she swore up and down, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. How can you do this? But and they got divorced, I believe. But he said he had to do it to save her life. 5 years later, you see Patty Duke, years ago, on TV, spending her own money on commercials, saying that was the most courageous thing any man could have done for her. Mm-hmm. It saved her life. She appreciates it now. That is tough love.
That I is love tough that. Love, yeah.
That's a great example.
That's a great example.
A great example. And
great
it,
example.
And it can be done on little things. And I'm sure, Dr. Sharon, you know, little things become big things if they're not handled when they're little.
Mm-hmm.
And so, to me, tough love on the little things, being honest at all times. Man, honesty would go so far if you actually express how you're feeling in a loving way. Hey, I don't like this in the marriage. Mm-hmm. Hey, I do like this, right? Rather than, oh, well, I hope they figure this out. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to hope for them, a guy to figure out something like that, go ahead
it's
and be my guest.
Happen.
It's just not. You know, it's just not. It's just... It's not in the cards, you know, and then what happens is there's this bitterness when they don't, you know, all of a sudden have the ability to read minds. So keeping honest and being tough with your love, but really generated out of a heart of love, how awesome would that be in cultivating that soil that you talked about mm-hmm. earlier with that garden, mm-hmm. right? Because sometimes there's pruning, mm-hmm. right? Sometimes there's picking. Sometimes there's different seasons. Sometimes there's no time to water. Sometimes mm-hmm. there's time to plant again. Right. So you take that analogy and you can spread that all the way out when it comes to love mm-hmm. and really recognize that.
Well, I like that, honest at all times. And mm-hmm. probably what it does, Dr. Sharon, is eliminate a buildup of resentment.
Absolutely. And what he said about mind reading, I see it a lot in women especially. They expect, well, my husband should know this. He should know this. He should know this. And so a lot of times you have to just teach them, he doesn't know this. You have to spell it out. I don't care if you've been married 20 years. If he hasn't figured it out by now, write him a note, you know. Tell him you want flowers for Valentine's Day, you know. And it's just amazing that people stay married for this long and they haven't figured these things out yet. But I just want to mention a couple books that if our listeners are interested, one on trust, rebuilding trust after a betrayal, that's really good. And it's by Alan and Polly Heller and Ed Delph. And it's called Learning How to Trust. And the other one I use a lot is The Five Love Languages.
Mm. Amazing book.
Great book.
By Gary Chapman.
Amazing book. Anybody that can hear my voice and you have something going on that's over your head in a marriage, mm-hmm. that book is
totally
one of
great.
The greatest books
ever written.
I really believe that.
Yeah.
I use it not with all my couples.
One of the greatest books ever written.
Fantastic book.
Turn things around
and
quickly.
It could work for not just intimate relationships.
No.
Any relationship.
Absolutely.
Because everyone has a different way of processing things. Can you believe this hour has
flown
by?
No, I can't.
Justin, how do they get in touch with you? Watch some of your great sermons.
Oh,
what do they do?
My name is Justin Hege. You can go to www.theshelteraz.com. We have our sermons up online under our media page. And it's a great, great site. Brand new. Actually debuted last week.
Oh, excellent. Well, thank you. Dr. Sharon, how do they get in touch with you?
602-334-3776. Or you can check out my new website at drsharonvonlentz.com.
Wow, excellent. This was very valuable. And, of course, if you want to hear a replay of the show, go to breakradioshow.com, breakradioshow.com under archives. You will go to Dr. Sharon Van Lentz. It says it right under the archives and all her great shows, including this one. Justin, thank you for being
man.
On today.
Always
great
love
show.
It. I appreciate
great
it.
Show.
Very good, Dr.
He's
Sharon. We'll
natural.
See you soon. And everyone, have a great night. Watch the weather tonight. I hear a big storm coming in.
Yeah.
Snow level 2,000 feet.
Whoa.
Be careful. We'll be back tomorrow as long as we can row our boat to the station. Sports talk tomorrow. Real hockey talk. See you tomorrow.
Arizona Station, 1010 KXXT, Tolleson, Phoenix.
At Beerenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those